Hey all, it's Evan Hill here of Real Hawk Talk. Super excited to talk to you about our good friends over at Burger Master. If you know anything about me, I crave burgers in my sleep. I do not mess around. Started in 1952, Burger Master is the best burger chain in Washington State. They have locations all over the Puget Sound in Aurora, Bellevue, Everett, Mill Creek, University, and Mount Vernon. Their fresh ingredients and classic drive-in experience make them the greatest burger chain in the state of Washington. Stop by Burger Master on your way home from a Seahawks game. You won't regret it. Hey all, Evan Hill here of Real Hawk Talk. Super excited to talk to you guys about our good friend Blake Johnson of ManifestFit.com. Football season is quickly approaching, and it is a struggle to stay in shape while eating burgers and nachos. ManifestFit.com is your one, only true online personal training service with workout and nutrition programs specifically based on your needs. They work with clients all over the U.S., and what makes Blake and ManifestFit.com so unique is that they don't believe training should be a luxury item. Now's the time to start. Head over to ManifestFit.com. Click on how to join and fill out the form. Their team will get back to you ASAP and help you start building a healthier, happier, louder Seahawks fan life.
The skyline is etched in my veins. You can never put that out, no matter how hard it rains. My city.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an emergency podcast edition of Real Hawk Talk. I am Brian Nemhauser. You can find me on Twitter at HawkBlogger, and you can find us here on YouTube at Real Hawk Talk. Folks, if you haven't already, this is why you've got to click the subscribe button and click the bell to get notified when we go live, because as there are things to talk about, we will be on here to talk about them, and that's the best way to stay informed. If you are an audio listener, I would suggest that you also subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, and it's going to move to YouTube Music, which, by the way, is why our YouTube channel has been inundated with a bunch of new videos of our old audio podcasts, which I think I've cleared up. But in any event, wherever you get your audio podcast, you should be able to subscribe there. We would appreciate a 5-star rating there. And then if you haven't, go to patreon.com/hawkblogger and sign up to get access to our Slack channel, support the show. You know, we're bringing you the content. We'd really appreciate if you could help support us as we continue to grow the audience and grow what we're doing here. So news of the day, news of the hour is that Sam Howell is now a Seattle Seahawk. And apologies at the start for my congested sound. This is the best I can do. I'm fighting off something. But anyway, Sam Howell is traded to the Seahawks. And let's go through the specifics of the deal. I should have had those up in front of me. Based off my recollection, it was a third-round pick for the Seahawks going to the Commanders in return for a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick going to the Commanders in exchange for a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick and Sam Howell. Let me just triple check that that is correct before continuing. Yes. So Seahawks receive Sam Howell, a fourth round pick, the 102nd pick in the draft. So they basically move back from their third round pick, number 78, to Washington's fourth round pick, 102. So quick math there, that is 24 spots down in the draft. And then they also include their sixth round pick, the Seahawks do, which is 179, and they receive Washington's fifth round pick. So they move up 27 spots there. So overall, I think I saw somewhere that this is roughly the equivalent of the Seahawks trading a fifth round pick for Sam Howell. And let's talk about who this guy is. You know, I will tell you right off the jump, I think this is a good deal. I think this is a good deal. And this is coming from someone who has been adamant that they need to draft a young quarterback this year. They need to stop the streak of never drafting young quarterbacks. We can't have Alex Magoo be the only drafted quarterback outside of Russell Wilson in John Schneider's tenure. But with that being said, you look at Sam Howell, the guy is 23 years old. That means he is roughly the same age as Jordan Travis, Florida State quarterback, going to be in this draft, who I like a lot. And by the way, someone I think you'd be looking at in the fifth round as someone you could potentially draft around then. He is younger than Joe Milton. He is younger than Bo Nix. Okay. He is, I think, roughly the same age as Michael Penix. So while everyone wants to talk about draft a young quarterback, they just got a young quarterback who is already in the league, who was a fifth round pick by himself, and has shown some decent quarterback play at the NFL level. So you don't have to project, you don't have to guess, you don't have to wonder. You have some film about how Sam Howell is going to look in the NFL because he started most of last season. And what I saw from Sam Howell, like what always caught my eye, was that the guy's got cojones. Like he makes gutsy throws. He has tons of confidence. He's got the swagger you want to see in a starting quarterback. He believes in his arm. He believes in his ability to make these throws. And, you know, as we're kind of talking about it, as I'm talking about him, I'm going to throw up some highlights to play in the background. Let's see if this works for you guys. Hopefully it does. So I think this is a guy that's mobile, that is able to move around. He's able to create plays on the move, but he's also a good pocket passer. You know, he will stand in the pocket. In fact, one of his challenges is that he can stand in the pocket too long and take a lot of sacks. This guy took a ton of sacks last year, so that's one of the downsides, but he's got a howitzer. Like, his arm is strong. He can make all the throws. He is able to get outside the hash marks with his throws, something that Geno does well, something that, by the way, Ryan Grubb did well with Michael Penix last year. So you're not going to have to reduce your route tree or your play calls for someone like Sam Howell. I mean, that throw that they just throwed there, I want to show that again, because that is a absolute dime outside the numbers, cross field, and with very little arc to it. So the guy's got a great arm. I think he's going to run for this one, if I remember correctly. You know, if you're someone who likes Bo Nix, honestly, I don't know how you don't like Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell's got much better arm than Bo Nix, and has the mobility, has the toughness. And like I said, you've seen him do it in the NFL, and he's a year younger. So in addition to that, I'll go through this, but Sam Howell has more big time throws than all but 9 quarterbacks last year. And that's without starting every game. He had more big time throws than Justin Herbert. He had more big time throws than Russell Wilson or Jalen Hurts or CJ Stroud. He had 30 big time throws last year. And there was a point earlier in the year where I think he had seven, eight games in a row where he had 2 or 3 big time throws in every one of those games. He had a few games where he had 10% of his throws were big time throws. Now, you don't want to have that high a percentage, because the implication there is you are putting the ball in tight spaces. Like, that was right there. That was a big time throw downfield, multiple receivers. There was only one place he could put that ball, and he put it there. So you don't want to have all your throws be big time throws. And that's part of what he got into trouble with, is he has such belief in his ability to fit the ball in different tight spots that he had a ton of turnovers, like a ton of interceptions. And so on one hand, I guess you could kind of look at this and think, well, if you want to call me out, which people love to do, you could say, Brian, you hated Drew Lock. You like absolutely never gave him a shot. You didn't want him here. You didn't like the way he played. And part of the reason you didn't like him is because he turned the ball over, and that he just was a guy that, well, that is a fair criticism. And the fact of the matter is Sam Howell will not be a viable player as a starter in the NFL without addressing his turnover issues. The difference is that Drew Lock started for multiple years. Drew Lock, in my estimation, his problem did not stem from his, he had a different reason, a different root cause of his turnovers. I don't think Drew Lock was particularly smart in how he played the game. I think the game eclipsed him at times, and he was essentially just a talented guy out there throwing the ball around who could make some great throws and had good athletic ability. But I didn't think the light was totally on up there, to be completely honest. What I see Howell, I don't see that as the problem. I see a guy that absolutely has the savvy. I think that he's got grit and toughness, and I think he makes throws on time more than I saw Drew Lock make throws on time. And I think the problem with Sam Howell is one of more overconfidence and inexperience. And so if you get him the right coaching, which we're going to find out, is Ryan Grubb's staff, are they good at developing quarterbacks? We're going to find out. We've seen it in the college game. We don't know in the NFL. But I'm optimistic. You know, I'd like to see what comes of that for Ryan Grubb. And I think that there's parts and pieces to Sam Howell that say, yeah, if you can develop him under Geno Smith, which, by the way, you know, Sam Howell did not have someone like Geno Smith to learn behind, someone that can teach him how to watch film, who can show him work ethic, who's got crazy arm talent and also has had problems with turning the ball over too much earlier in his career and has found ways to overcome that. So I think that there's a lot of reasons why what Sam Howell's position and situation for the Seahawks, I think, is better and different than the Drew Lock situation. And I'm just seeing that there is some news coming, so I want to check that out. Give me a moment. So it sounds like the Seahawks might have made another move. Let's take a quick look. Checking here. Devin White signed with the Eagles, so that's not the Seahawks. I do not see anything for the Seahawks. So unless I'm missing something, let me know if I'm missing something in chat. But, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, look at that. They've signed Tyrell Dotson. There you go. Well, let's talk about that. All right. Switching gears. We're going to do this live, and this is why we have emergency pods. We're going to have to change up the title for this pod. So I am double checking things because I've been wrong. Jordan Schultz is the person who reported this. Jordan has been pretty accurate so far. And let me tell you a little bit about Tyrell Dodson, since I'm sure you guys are curious there. I'm going to get back to Sam Howell, so I know people want to hear about that. But let me talk to you about Tyrell Dodson. I'm going to pull a couple things together. Hold on. Looking by position. Let's go defense. Let's go linebacker. And last year. So here's the hyperbole. Here is the hyperbole. Tyrell Dodson was the number one ranked linebacker in the entire NFL by PFF last year. Number one. He had a 90.2 grade, which was the only linebacker in the NFL that had a 90 grade or higher. And he didn't do it with like five snaps. He had 589 snaps. That is roughly half of what a full season starting will do. Fred Warner was the second highest rated linebacker. He had 1,200 snaps. Demario Davis was the third highest rated linebacker for New Orleans. He had 1,100 snaps. So basically in a half a season, Tyrell Dodson put up the best grade of any linebacker. How did he do it? Well, he had a run defense grade of 86. So very solid there. He had an okay pass rush grade of 72.8. So that's above average. And then he had an excellent coverage grade of 88.4. The only two players in the NFL that had a higher coverage grade at linebacker than Tyrell Dodson were CJ Mosley for the Jets and Quincy Williams for the Jets. So he was playing at a pretty high level. Now, again, he played half a season. I think where he plays, he's 6 feet tall, 237 pounds. My guess is he is not your middle linebacker. He is not your Mike. I think he will probably be a Will linebacker. I'll try to find out a little bit more about where he played. But this is a guy that, you know, even in the playoff game against Kansas City, so you might say, what did he do against real competition? Well, in the divisional playoff against Kansas City, he had an 89.3 grade, 85.2 run defense, 75.7 coverage grade. So, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good competition. And he really started by about week five getting snaps. And from then on, he pretty much graded out excellent. Like, his bad games were, you know, 62 grades, 65. He had a 58.8 against New England. But almost every other game is 73.6, 74.6, 79.3, 92.9, 85.6, 74. By all accounts, he was a good linebacker last year. Now, he is 25, just about to be 26. This will be his fifth year in the NFL, and he has never done this before. In his previous 3 years with the Bills, the most snaps he had was 220 snaps. He had 220 in 2022. He had 82 in 2021. He had 172 in 2020. So 589 in 2023 was by far his most. And he took advantage. So, you know, I think that there's something to that. Let's get a little bit more if I can get to defensive details of what positions he was playing. Hold on. Sometimes they don't do this well. Let me see if I can get to it another way. So in the Chiefs game, for example, defense, he was the second highest rated Bills defender in that game. Let's see. Do they give us any details here? Coverage. They have him as a Will. Yeah, so that's what I thought. So, you know, I think he's more likely to be your Will linebacker than your Mike linebacker. And if you're curious, I'll read you what PFF said about him in their free agency primer. Dodson took over as a starter in week 8 and filled in admirably for a defense that sorely missed Matt Milano. Dodson is undersized at 6 foot 3, 237 pounds, but made up for it with a good understanding of angles and leverage, getting to his spot quickly and staying springy on the balls of his feet. I would also say that if you happen to listen to a PFF podcast at all, there was, I think, a point where they were talking about Tyrell Dodson and potential fit for Seattle. And the feeling inside the PFF room was, yeah, we don't know. Like, this guy just graded like crazy and he came out of nowhere. So is it real? That's what you're getting here. You're getting, excuse me, I have to blow my nose. So I'm going to put it on mute. 1 second. Okay. Sorry. Still sick. You're getting potential upside that you don't know how good he could be. But you're also getting potential, like, total bust. Like, this is a guy who has not played at this level before until last year, and then just blew up and played better than almost any other linebacker. I think I've seen from Griff, see Mike Smith spin move on Twitter, who watches a lot of film. I think he's not a big fan of Tyrell Dodson from what I saw. I think he thought his coverage assignments were pretty vanilla and not difficult. And maybe that's why he had such a high coverage grade. That's totally plausible. I did not watch enough of him to know. I might as well look up some highlights. We can watch some of these together. I will get copyright infringement, I'm sure, from YouTube for this, but that's okay. It just won't monetize. Let's look. We got one here. I will put it on here in just a second, and you guys can take a look with me. So let me get to a good spot here. I don't know if this is a good video or not, so we'll find out together. Hold on one sec. Share screen and there you go. All right, so let's see what we got. Yeah, we got this guy. He's not a highlight for me. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm just trying to try to see some film of this guy playing, because honestly, I just have not seen enough of him play. So there he is, 53. He moves pretty well. I don't know. There's not much to see from that rep. Let's skip around a little bit. So that's a good rep right there. That was a misdirection play, and he stayed with his guy. See him taking on a block there. That's a good sign for an undersized guy, being able to shed there. Nice to see. Again, here he is in coverage. I mean, he looks pretty nimble. I mean, that is much better than you would see from some guys that have played linebacker for the Seahawks the past few years. And again, I want to stress that what I was looking for when I was looking at linebacker fits for the Seahawks this year, it is coverage, linebackers that can cover. I think that that's a premium aspect, a characteristic that Mike McDonald looks for. His linebackers were excellent cover guys, and it gave them such an advantage in how they played. And so Dodson, like I said, was one of the best coverage linebackers there were. Interesting to watch him in these misdirection plays, watching his eyes, staying home. A lot of young linebackers really get sucked into misdirection and get out of position. Nice to see him staying kind of where he should. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time breaking down film, but nice to see a little bit from Dodson there. I'm excited about that, guys. I think that that's a big time addition for the Seahawks. And John Schneider was on today. I have not had a chance to hear all of what he said, but I know that he mentioned that the linebacker market got away from them, moved a little faster than they expected. And so this is him most likely going to plan B or C or D. But quite honestly, folks, like, they are following what I would hope for their free agency plan almost to the letter. The one thing that they have not done that I want them to do is sign Kevin Zeitler. I know everybody thinks that he's too old, or a lot of people think he's too old, but I'm telling you, he is better than any guard that the Seahawks have had for the last few years. He is a significant upgrade over the guys that they've had. His age is a attribute, not a detriment. And so I think that is a very young room for the offensive line. And having someone like Zeitler in there, I think could be great. Having him right next to Oluwatimi while he's starting potentially in his first year as a starter, I think is great. Having him next to Charles Cross, I think could be great. So I think other than that, this is very, very close to the plan that I had hoped for them. They've not been reaching. They've not been spending too much. They've been finding places where they can really get some good additive value. And I like it. I like it. I'm trying to see linebacker wise. I mean, the only other guy that I would say would be interesting to me would be Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell was let go by the Packers. He is much more of a standard Mike. And I think if you paired Devondre Campbell and Tyrell Dodson, dude, I'm fine with that. I'm not sure that that's significantly worse than what we've seen in past years. It might be better. Devondre Campbell had a down year last year. He will not count against comp picks because he was cut. And this is a guy who before last year had two straight years of coverage grades of over 80. Like, he is an excellent coverage linebacker as well when things are working. So I don't know if he's really gotten off gotten off track. Sorry, I'm getting a bunch of texts from people trying to tell me. Yeah, so I think Devondre Campbell would be the other guy I would think would be an interesting guy to add. From there, you know, like, then you're just looking to fill in, find any like gaps. You know, maybe you get Tyus Bowser as an edge rusher. Maybe Bud Dupree is interesting to you, or Marcus Golden, or, you know, maybe there's some guy that they think about bringing in there. But you start to not really have key needs. I think you could start looking back at safety if you wanted to go for another safety. I don't know that they need to after signing Rayshon Jenkins, but you could look at Justin Blackmon. You could see what's going on there. So I think the fact that they've signed Dodson is a really good add and reduces their needs. So, interesting to see a lot of Commanders fans as we pivot back to talking about Sam Howell. A lot of Commanders fans, both on Twitter and even here in chat, who were fans of his and are happy for him. And I think that speaks to the kind of player and the kind of guy he seems to be. He's a guy that I think I was, as a not a Commanders fan, I was kind of rooting for him. I liked watching him play. I thought he had a lot of moxie and a lot of savvy in how he approached the position. And so cool. Like, my only issue was Adam Schefter's tweet about now the Seahawks, after losing Drew Lock, have a guy to compete with Geno Smith for the starter position. Like, come on. Like, if that's just Schefter making shit up, then whatever. A lot of times that is the reporter parroting what the front office source has told them. And so they do that to send messages to the players. And if the message was, yeah, Sam Howell is coming in here to compete for a starting spot, that's just, I mean, that's shit. Like, yes, every player should come in and compete for their spot and see if they can get the starting position always. But you don't have to say that every, like, you can say that about every single acquisition. They're coming in here to compete for the spot, starting spot. You don't. When you bring in a what has been like a backup guy to potentially, you know, be, you know, a challenge for a starting role, that's a different message. And so I was happy to hear John Schneider on his show today clarify that Sam Howell's the backup, Geno Smith is the starter. That is the right way to set it up. And if you get in a position where all of a sudden Sam Howell is forcing your hand, like, this guy, he just looks like he should be the starter, it's so clear, then great. Then let that emerge. But there is no reason that you've got to disrespect Geno Smith and basically treat him unlike other starters. And basically say, like, look, you know, we're constantly trying to find someone to take your job because we don't think you're good enough. And they were bordering on that message in this offseason. As much as they talked more about Drew Lock than they did about Geno Smith, they talked about keeping Geno Smith because economically it made sense. You know, you couldn't let a player like him go with for the price tag he's being paid. Those aren't ringing endorsements. You heard John Schneider talk about how he felt Drew Lock really didn't get a fair shot at the starting job in the year he was competing with Geno Smith because Drew Lock got a concussion or whatever it was and missed a game. All those things implied, like, yeah, we don't think Geno Smith's our guy and we want someone to take that job. But then they let Drew Lock go. They come out and clarify that Geno Smith's going to be their guy. And John says this, and I think that that's the right way to go. Now, the interesting part of this that we haven't talked about, that I haven't mentioned yet, is what does this mean for the draft? And that's the part that's a little harder to assess. On one hand, I've been doing a bunch of mock drafts, and I will say that when I've been doing them, as much as I'm a fan of some of these first-round quarterbacks, it feels irresponsible to be taking a quarterback in the first round this year, unless it's like the guy that you believe is the guy. And they could believe Bo Nix is that guy. They could believe Michael Penix is that guy. They could believe JJ McCarthy is that guy. I don't want that, but whatever. But even if you do, there's just real holes elsewhere that, like, passing up, whether it's a Fautanu or whether it's one of the edge players or another offensive lineman or whoever it is that could really fill out the rest of your roster, it feels challenging to take a quarterback in the first round in these drafts and stay on track for building out the roster you need to be a contender, which the Seahawks, like, aren't a contender right now. So I have been already pretty hesitant about taking a first round quarterback. I'm not against it, but I've been hesitant about it. They don't have a second round pick. They almost certainly are going to have to trade back in the first round to get a second round pick. And as valuable as those picks are right now, I wouldn't be surprised if you need to trade a first and a third, like move back in the first. So trade a first for a lower first and trade your third to get a second. So I think getting a second round pick is going to be very costly. And I'm not certain that John Schneider is going to be able to do it. I think he will try. And I think it's the right move. I don't think you can be certain that it's going to happen. And if you don't have a second round pick, this becomes even more challenging to take a quarterback with that first pick. But let's say somehow you do get the second round pick. I still think linebacker is going to be a priority position to draft. I think Junior Colson is going to be high on their list. I think Peyton Wilson could be high on their list. And so the way I've been looking at the draft more and more is that the place that the Seahawks were going to take a quarterback was like the fifth round, that they were going to take a Jordan Travis or a Joe Milton, that kind of toolsy developmental quarterback or someone coming off an injury. And now they essentially just took a fifth round pick and applied it to a quarterback who I would say is a better prospect than either Joe Milton or Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis is coming off a serious injury. Joe Milton has a lot of issues and is a year older. You could talk about Spencer Rattler. He's got a lot of interesting things, but he's got a lot of red flags that are keeping him into later rounds. So to me, there's not this clear cut, oh my God, you just got Sam Howell and that's such a bad choice. You could have had this guy in the fifth round or fourth round or whatever. I don't think there's that guy in this draft that to me is so clearly better than what Sam Howell projects to be. So I think the compensation makes sense. They didn't spend a crazy amount to get him. They're going to get him at a very low price, in terms of his contract. Let me just double check his contract. But he's on his rookie deal, so it can't be much. Yeah, so he's going to get, you know, he's $1 million cap hit this year and a little over $1.2 million in 2025. So you've got him for the next 2 years. You don't have, he was not a first round pick, so you can't apply a fifth year option to him, but you have 2 years to evaluate this guy now. That's not bad. And if you think he's your guy, most likely Gino at most probably has two more years of being your starter. And then you could probably get Sam Howell. If you do think he's your guy, if he's shown you enough, you can probably get him to a pretty cheap deal still. Like he will not, most likely will not have played enough, shown enough to be able to command like a $40 million a year deal or something like that. So maybe this works out. Maybe this allows them to build other parts of their roster and get their next quarterback. So overall, I think this feels like smart roster building. I think it's clever. I think they could be doing much worse. If they had paid Drew Lock $6 million to be their backup quarterback, that would have been much, much worse. I mean, I like Tyler Huntley, you know, like he's an interesting guy, but again, you probably know what he is. And I'm not sure he's going to be a starter. So he's more likely to be just your backup. So yeah, what I didn't want to see is a guy that I thought had no chance to develop into a starter that's older. Drew Lock is 27. I don't want a 27-year-old guy who I think is very clearly never going to be a great contender, like Super Bowl contending quarterback. I don't want that to be my quarterback in waiting. I don't want to waste 5 years like having him play just good enough to get a contract and then you're screwed with him. Sam Howell, if he ends up not being the guy, there's nothing about what they spent from a fifth round pick perspective in equivalent trade value or in the contract that precludes them from going and drafting another quarterback. So they could even do that this year. I don't think that they will, to be very clear. I don't think that they will draft a quarterback. I think they just feel like they just got their backup. But I think the Seahawks, you could argue, got a quarterback better than all but four or five of the quarterbacks that are in this draft that are all going to go in the first round. And maybe better than the quarterbacks are going to come out next year, which is supposed to be a really bad quarterback draft. So yeah, that is my immediate reaction to this. I think it is a wise move. I like it. I like Sam Howell. I wish they didn't have to trade that third round pick to do it, but I understand that makes sense that they did. They get another fifth round pick. I will run a mock draft. You guys are welcome to stick around and see it. You don't have to, but I am curious. Let's see if the mock draft simulator has been updated. I'm going to take a look here. Does it know about the fifth round, the change for the Seahawks? It does not. It still has us having the 78th pick. So it has not been updated yet. So yeah, I'll do a mock because I'm kind of curious how the draft falls a little differently after you lose one of those thirds and have an additional fifth. But otherwise, yeah, I know people are saying force the trade. I gotta go help the fam, so I can't stay on too much longer. I think I missed a super chat a long time ago, and so I'm gonna go back and look at that. Sorry, one man show here. Sam Brown. Thanks, Sam, for being a supporter. And he says, Tyrell Dodson this offseason gives me the vibes of when we signed Uchenna Nwosu 2 years ago. Young and ready to prove himself, exactly the kind of guy Seattle should be signing. Appreciate that, Sam. And I agree. I think that's a good call out. And we'll see what the numbers are going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little bit more than we want. But he's a young dude, and he could be getting him at just the right time. So yeah, appreciate that. And folks, give the show a like. Click subscribe to get notified when we have a new show. Click the bell. We'll actually tell you when we are going live, so you'll get a notification. And go to patreon.com/hawkblogger. Sign up, get access to the Slack channel right now, where you get to ask us questions. We also have a YouTube membership starting. We're going to do some private Q&A stuff, so would love to get people on there. You could tell we've been doing some more content. I have especially. And so we could definitely use the support and appreciate the support as we continue to grow the show. All right, folks, I may be on. Who knows? I may be on later. For now, I'm going to sign off. The Seahawks have a new backup quarterback in Sam Howell. They have a new likely starting will linebacker in Tyrell Dodson. And the offseason continues to evolve. So a lot of interesting things to come. We will see you here again soon. Hey folks, this is Brian Nemhauser. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Want you to know that Real Hawk Talk is available on all major podcast platforms. Go ahead and subscribe. Have all podcasts delivered directly to your phone after each and every show. And then go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. Helps us out, gets more people to the show. Then, if you haven't already done it, go to patreon.com/hawkblogger and subscribe for just $5 a month. Gets you immediate access to our Slack channel. Join hundreds of folks in that community to talk Seahawks about wins, losses, and all things in between. Not to mention, become eligible to win giveaways for Seahawks tickets and get to ask questions of the Real Hawk Talk crew every week on the show. Finally, if you haven't gone to hawkblogger.com recently, head on over. Tail the Tape Morning After articles are there every week. Hoping to see you there. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the show. Go Hawks.